October 20th, 1977. It's 10:45 a.m. We're in the home of Mr. Harold D. Norman, 3826 Agnes Avenue, apartment A. Present is Mr. Norman, Investigator Day, and Investigator Maxwell. Mr. Norman, you see this recorder?
Yes.
We have your permission to record this interview.
Right.
Okay, thank you. There'll be a pause now. Okay, I'll ask you a few questions. Mr. Norman, on November 22nd, 1963, were you employed at the Texas School Book Depository?
Yes.
In what capacity were you employed there?
In the shipping receiving department, order checker.
Order checker.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How long had you worked there?
Since about 1960.
Right. In your own words, can you tell us exactly what happened that day from the time you came to work until the end, the time you were dismissed? Now, I know it was 14 years ago, so the best that you can remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the morning of 22nd November, we all came to work as usual, but everyone was kind of excited because the president was coming to town and he was going to come right by the building where we work. And on that particular morning, the fellows that I work with, we were all kind of interested in it too. And I don't remember exactly what time it was when the president was supposed to come through, but people started gathering outside, and a few of us on the inside, we were looking out the window, waiting on the arrival of the president.
Right, just one second. Now, before the people started gathering, you arrived at work about 8?
Yes.
And you arrived, did you come to work by yourself?
Yes, I rode a bus.
Right. And did you punch in, or do you just walk
in? No.
They were signing, you just go in the building, right, and prepare for work.
Right.
Right. At what time that day did you see Lee Harvey Oswald? The first time.
Sometime that morning, I don't know. Pretty close to the time that the president was supposed to come through.
Did you see him before that?
Yes. I saw him, you know, in the building, walking around. I checked some orders that he had brought down.
Right. You checked his orders?
Yes.
Right. Can you recall the first time that you saw him?
Well, I think it was around maybe, probably about 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
9:30 or 10.
Just to really, just notice, seeing him.
Right. He had filled an order and brought that order to you to be checked.
Uh-huh.
Right? All right. Did you have any conversation with him at that time, if you can recall?
No. I don't recall having a conversation with him.
Right. All right. And go ahead, continue.
Well, a few more friends, man, we were over by the window, main entrance coming into the building. And we were looking out. He came over and made to stay with us, and that's what everybody excited about, because the president was coming to town.
He said, why was everybody so excited? Because the president was coming into town. And in other words, he was saying to you, how did you interpret that?
Well, I never gave it too much thought. I wasn't thinking anything wrong with him or anything, anything like that was going to happen.
So he said, why was everybody so excited about it? As if it was nothing?
Yeah.
That in other words, you should be back working, shouldn't be interesting.
Yes, that's what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm. Right, this is why everybody was around this big window that's presently bricked up?
Yes.
Right, okay. And what did he do after that?
Well, he left, and I don't know. I never did turn around and pay much attention. I don't know which way he went. I don't know if he stayed on the first floor or he went upstairs or what at this particular time.
Right, now this was about approximately what time?
Actually, he went around about 10 or close to 11, because I think every time they spoke, the motorcade was supposed to come through. The
people were, crowds were building up.
Right.
Right, go ahead.
And so I don't recall really seeing him no more that day, but long by the time the president was coming, then James Jarman and Barney Ray William and myself, we got our lunches, and we decided to go upstairs on the fifth floor, sit in the window because we could get a better view of the motorcade. And after we did that, I bought my lunch from home. I can't recall whether Jarman bought his or not, but I know William bought some chicken off one of the catering trucks.
Right. Barney Ray Williams went out and bought some chicken.
Right.
Right.
And we went upstairs and pulled us some cartons up by the window so we could sit down and look out the window. And we could tell the president must be getting close by the reaction of the crowd of the people. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, we saw the motorcade come around the corner. And just as the motorcade came around and was exit going west towards Stemmons Freeway, then three shots were fired.
Right.
So,
you say three shots. How did these shots sound?
Well, they boom, clack, clack, boom, clack, clack, boom. You know,
mm-hmm.
One of the times I see the president fall back and do his hand.
Was that at the first shot?
No, I don't think it was the first shot. I can't recall, but it.
Did you notice the president's action at the first shot, first time you heard the shot?
No, I didn't, because I really didn't know who was shooting at. I mean, I heard the shots, but not thinking that, you know, that was what was happening, the president had been hit.
Right. Now, when you heard these shots, where did you think they were coming from?
Coming right up above me. I was on the fifth floor, and the shots had to be on the sixth floor, or even on the top of the roof.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, where were you standing in the window?
Oh, I was sitting.
Sitting, right.
In the last one, the corner of the building, on the left. So the last one.
Where was Jarman and Bonnie Ray Williams?
They were sitting to the windows at the right of me.
To the right of you?
Yes.
Right. That was the next window they
right.
were in. Right. Were these windows open?
Yes.
Did you open them, or were they already open when you got there?
We opened them.
Opened to get a better view?
Yes.
Right. And now you say you heard bam, clack, clack. And how did you interpret that? The clack, clack, and then?
Well, it.
As if you were cocking a rifle?
Yeah, you know how you if you shoot a bolt action rifle or something, if you're rejecting the empty cartridge,
right.
Then that's what the clack, clack is
about. Mm-hmm. Did you hear any cartridges fall?
I heard three.
You heard three cartridges fall to the floor?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, to go back a little bit, when you decided to go upstairs to the fifth floor, how did you go upstairs?
We used the freight elevator.
The freight elevator. Right. That was yourself, Jarman, and
Williams,
right. Was there a guy named Jack Daugherty working with you at that time?
Yes.
Did he go up there also?
I don't recall him going up there with us. If he did, but then he didn't stay. But I don't think he did. I don't even recall him going up that way.
Right. All right. Did there come a time when Jarman told you there was something in your hair?
Yes.
Did you feel this falling into your hair?
No, I didn't feel it. It was just something must have been lightly. Debris, it wasn't nothing, you know, real that I really could feel. But the time that he mentioned, and then I, you know, brushed my hair at night.
And what did you attribute to that being in your hair?
Well, I feel like it was come from either somebody moving around or something that had to cause the debris to fall down in my hair like that.
So were they fixing the floor up there or anything?
Well, they had prepared the floor. It was a hardwood oak floor, but the floor was in kind of bad shape, and then they covered with some plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a matter of fact, we were one that covered with the plywood anyway.
Right. Oh, you?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we have the employees that we, you know, sometimes, I mean, when work was kind of like when we do things around there.
Right.
You know.
Now, you recall, like, twice you saw Oswald. Was there any other time that day that you seen him that you can recall prior to the shooting of the president?
No. I don't recall that.
Did you see him on the fifth floor or the sixth floor anyway?
No.
times you saw him, he was on the first floor.
On the first floor.
Did you see him come to work?
No, I didn't see him when he came in the building to work. I mean, you know, like he was coming to work, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Did you see?
There's one thing I do recall now. It's when he asked us, what was everybody so excited about the president coming to town? And then when he turned around to leave, you know how a kid would do if he's a plain cowboy, and then, you know, and then he
right.
did like this.
Indicating that he reached like he was drawing two guns
right.
and firing.
Yeah.
He just felt like pulling two guns from a holster and saying, psh,
mm-hmm.
as if he was a cowboy firing two guns. Yeah. When he turned to leave, that's what he said to you?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then he just walked away. Did you see where he went?
No, I didn't know which was direction. I don't know if he stayed on the first floor or where he went upstairs then or what.
You didn't attach any significance to that action at that time?
No, not at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, Clarence.
Tell me, after the shots were fired, what did you do then?
Well,
did you look up, down?
Or we just looked out. Looked out, more or less out the window that was facing us. And then,
where did you think the shots came from?
Well, I knew all the time it came from above, but it's just being why it just you could just hear it. I mean, you know, you know somebody's up there. And like I said, I've never been in the branch of service or anything, but I've been hunting in the woods long enough to know where a gun is fired and everything. I'm kind of familiar with guns.
Before the shots were fired, while you were waiting for the president to come around off of Maine into Houston and down in front of the building, did you get the impression there was somebody upstairs, or did you hear anybody up there or anything?
No, I didn't hear anybody, and then I didn't, you know, have the impression that anybody might be up there. As far as I knew, that German and William and myself were only three up that high in the building.
How about the elevator? Was it operating that day?
Yes.
Did you hear it going up and down?
Yes.
Did you see who was on it?
No, I didn't see who was on it.
Do you know if it stopped at that floor above you, or any of the floors above you?
I knew it stopped, but I couldn't see if it stopped on that floor or on the first floor.
All right. Now, after the shots were fired, you were looking out the window. You saw the president hit.
Yes.
What did you do then?
Well, we was kind of, I guess, kind of panicked, kind of afraid. When we, side to move, then we went to the other side of the, tried to look out the window over by the tracks, because this is where everybody was running to over there.
You went to the far end of the building
to
look out over the railroad
bridge. Right.
Now you say this is where everybody was running.
Yes.
Did that include the police?
Yes. Some of the blue clothes police, when they all ran across over there, and I guess some of the plain clothes police, because it was...
Now you're talking about that area that's on the same side of Daley Plaza as the book depository is, where the grass is.
Yeah, it's on the same side of the street where the depository is, on the sign followed by the grass, like you're going on the underpass coming out to Stemley.
Did you see anything in the railroad yard?
No, nothing that looked unusual to me. I mean, I didn't.
Was there any conversation between you and the others at that time?
Well, at one time, somebody made a statement, somebody was shooting at the president, or they thought somebody was shooting at the president, and I think I made a statement, yes, I knew it somebody was shooting at him, you know, I think I made that statement.
Uh-huh.
But, like I say, you don't be expecting things like that, you really don't know what to think. And,
all right. What did you do after you went to the far side of the building? What happened next?
Well, we paused there for a couple of minutes or so, and then we really couldn't really see what was happening, so we decided to go down to the fourth floor. And when we got to the fourth floor, some of the employees that works in the office, more or less the ladies, secretaries or whatever, they were over by the windows looking out too, and we went over there.
Which windows are these?
Well, it's the same side of the building of the tracks, the railroad tracks.
Nearest the railroad tracks.
Right.
Okay. Was there any conversation there?
Somebody might have said something to someone. I don't recall what was said.
Okay. When you were coming down the steps, Did you pass anybody going up or coming down?
No.
Did you hear anybody on the steps, if you can remember?
No, I don't recall hearing anybody.
All right, now you're on the fourth floor. There are other employees there. You're looking out the window towards the railroad tracks.
Right.
And towards the grassy knoll.
Right.
Now, what did you do after that? What followed after that? Tell me what you, where you went and how you went through the building then.
Well, we left the fourth floor. We went down the back stairway.
All right.
All the way down to the first floor.
All right.
And by the time we got to the first floor, well, we got right in the middle of the floor, and this time that the policemen and started coming in the building then.
All right.
So I guess that's, they recognized where the shots were coming from then, or either they figured it wasn't nowhere else from coming from then.
All right. When you got down to the first floor, were you still with Bonnie Ray Williams and the other fellow?
German.
German. Were you three together
yes,
then?
We were together. So it was like the
On the first floor down there, did you see the man who was the manager, Trudy or Trulia? Or...
Yes. I can't call where he was there immediately. I mean, as soon as we got down on the first floor, right. But I really recall seeing him.
All right. Could you get out of the building?
No, it wasn't let us out.
Was there anyone coming in other than policemen?
Well, not that I know of. It, you know, I don't know of anyone else coming inside. It might have been. But,
Now, when you came from the fifth floor to the fourth floor, did you run or did you walk?
Well, we was in a little pace. We weren't walking, really walking. You know, we was kind of moving.
How long were you on the fourth floor?
About a couple of minutes, more or less. No more than about a couple of minutes. But... And then we left and went down to the first floor. We didn't make another stop until we got to the first floor.
Who was Oswald's best friend in the building that you would think of?
I don't know of him having one. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Did you know the man Oswald came to work with?
Yes.
What was his name?
Frazier.
Did you see Oswald come to work that morning?
No, I didn't see him come to work that morning.
Any time that day, did you see Oswald with a package in his hand?
No.
When you filled an order of books, did you wrap them up or did you just...
Well, now when they fill the orders, they bring them down, they might... It all depends on how many they have. They might have just a handful, I mean. Then maybe they might have a two wheel stacked up yay so tall. And then what we got to do, we got to go through there and check them and make sure that they have the correct books. Then we got people on the table over there that wrap them and pack them.
What did they wrap them in?
Brown, just regular brown, you know, wrapping paper. Or either there was quite a few of them, and they just leave them in the carton that they were in, and maybe the carton had some type of label.
All right, brown wrapping paper with a tape to hold it?
Yes.
All right. Just ordinary brown wrapping paper?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you know a man by the name of Jack Doherty?
Yes.
All right. How do you know him? How do you come about knowing him?
Well, I know him from the time I started working there in even 60. They were down there to the old building before they moved up to this new building.
All right. Did you see him on that day, the 22nd?
I just can't recall. I can't recall what I did, but I'm pretty sure he was there. It's something he never did hardly do with miss work unless he was on a vacation right. Or something.
Did he know Oswald?
Well, as far as I know him, he knew him just about like the rest of us did. I don't know.
Did you ever have any conversation with him about Oswald?
No. No more than maybe sometimes say, what kind of fella is that? You know, he don't want blend in with the other people. I mean, you know.
Did you know a man? Well, let me ask you, how about Bonnie Ray Williams? How well do you know him?
Just as him being working there, just for him working there, just really, really knowing him. I didn't know him, you know, just really knowing him.
Let's talk about the day or the Monday after the assassination, or keep it fresh in your mind the time right after you got back in the building. Was there any conversation about the elevator or anybody being on the sixth floor of the building?
Well, I recall this fellow, Charles Gibbons, which most everybody down here called him Slim, right, that he said he noticed that Oswald had been going up and down, riding up and down on the freight elevator, but he never did bring no freight down all the time that he was riding up and down the freight elevator.
Right.
Did he work in the butter depository that Friday, Gibbons?
Yes, he was there.
Did he normally work in there, or did he work over in the other building?
Well, most of the time he worked in the other building, but then a lot of time they would send some of the employees up there to help out. But most of the time he worked down in the other building down there.
And this Friday, Gibbons was working at the depository?
Yes, he was there in the depository.
And that Monday, he made a statement that Oswald was riding up and down the elevator, not bringing anything?
I believe he made that statement the same day. I don't know if it was that Monday, but I think he made that statement the same day when, you know, a bunch of them was huddling around and before they let us out of the building.
When you found out that Oswald was missing?
It may not have been the same day, but I'm saying I believe it was the same day.
Right. Prior to them letting you go for the day, was everybody aware that Oswald, they were looking for Oswald as the shooter of the president?
I don't think so. No. I don't think that...
There wasn't any speculation about Oswald's position in this thing, was it?
No, not that I recall.
When you were let go for the day, everybody knew that the president had been shot.
Yes.
Were you aware that he had died?
No.
You didn't get any news?
No, I don't think we got the news until...
Right. Now, they let you go for the day.
Right.
Right. And, but you didn't know anything about Oswald at that time?
No.
Right. When was the first time that you knew that Oswald was involved?
I believe I either heard it on the news or either I saw his picture on TV.
That night?
Yes. Later on
that day. Go ahead. Now, when you left the butt depository, did you come straight home or did you get around with the fellas and talk about it?
No, I came home as quick as I could catch a bus and get home. I came home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fine.
You knew Billy Lovelace?
Yes.
When is the last time you've seen
him? I can't remember what that day, what time of day that I seen him. I can't remember what last time I saw him.
What was his relationship with Oswald?
Well, none that I know of.
Do you remember in the newspaper reports of the assassination and all, there was a picture of Billy Lovelady in the paper, and there was a lot of talk about that picture, whether it was Lovelady or whether it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Do you remember the picture I'm talking about? Do you think that picture was Billy Lovelady?
I think it was him. Right.
Now,
Wes, Frazier, the guy that drove Oswald to work, was he friendly with everybody in the place?
Yeah, I think Wes got along pretty well with everybody in the place.
Right. And of all the people in the place, about the only one you think that was friendly with Oswald was Wes?
Well, I would say, I guess, because he rode to work with him. I don't know how many times he rode to work with him, but...
Did you see him come to work a number of times that you can recall?
Well, see him after they get in the building, just for them just driving up out there on the parking lot or something like that.
Never encountered. You didn't have a car at the time.
No.
So you didn't park in the lot. Right.
Do you remember somebody asking Oswald, asking Wesley Frazier something about where his rider was? Do you remember anything in that area?
No. I don't remember anything.
Let's go back and reflect on the time that you came downstairs. Did you try to get out of the building?
Well, no. We had started over towards the door, but like I said, we stopped about in the middle of the floor there. And one reason, I think the reason we stopped was because we was kind of afraid. We didn't want to be moving around because you know what might would happen. But then I think this is when we finally, Truber came up and told us, one of the officers or somebody, I can't recall, told us we couldn't leave right then. You know, we couldn't leave right
there. Was Billy Lovelady with you then?
I don't recall if he had been there or not.
Did you see anyone out in the street that worked in the depository?
No. I don't recall seeing anyone out in the street that worked there.
Now, as I understand it, there was a catering truck or something that used to come to the depository.
Right.
To around lunchtime or something like that.
Right.
Did you buy your lunch from that truck?
I did sometimes, but that particular day, I bought my lunch from home.
Did any of the other fellas buy anything from that truck?
Well, William was the only one that I knew that bought some chicken from there.
He bought chicken from that truck.
Okay.
Did he eat that chicken while he was watching the motorcade?
Yes.
Did you eat? Everybody ate their lunch that time?
Yes.
Were you, when you were downstairs, did you see them bring a rifle down?
No.
Okay.
I don't recall.
Did you hear any talk about it at that time while you were waiting to be dismissed?
No, I don't recall hearing any conversation about the rifle that day.
Did any police talk to you that day?
Well, as I can remember, the only policeman whatever talked to us when we when they finally decided to let us go home. Yeah. They got our address and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And told us not to leave and go nowhere until they, until they contacted us or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But then they didn't ask you any questions about anything. Were they aware that you were up on the fifth floor at the time of the shooting?
I don't think so.
All right, one thing that's important. Did they bring anyone into the building, a white man, and he identify either you, Jarman, or was it Lovelady? Not Lovelady, Bonnie Lee Williams, as having been in the window?
No, I don't recall. I remember truly identifying us as working there. But I don't recall bringing anybody in and where we were.
You gave, as I understand it, you gave your name and address and identified yourself just like everybody else was doing.
Right.
They worked there. They were making some sort of head count.
Right.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Did you know who was missing at the time of that head count?
No, I just couldn't recall who was missing.
All right. Did they tell you anybody was missing?
I don't recall if it did that. Yeah.
Did you know Oswald was missing?
No.
Okay. Now, the next time any law enforcement or the next time anybody contacted you was I'm talking about after that day, the 22nd. The next day was Saturday. The next day was Sunday. And nobody talked to you on that Monday about it.
No.
You continued to work there at the book depository until when?
Till the end of, it was still in close to the New Year's holiday when I got hired at the Southern Guard.
So you took another job?
Mm-hmm.
And where was that?
At the Foxborough Company out on East Northwest Highway.
All right. What were you doing there?
Shipping and receiving.
All right. Then, sometimes in January, From the 22nd until January, you never had any contact with anybody?
No, I don't recall having any.
When were you fingerprinted?
I'd say it was around March or close to April. Like the middle of March or first somewhere in April.
Okay, so this happened in November. We're talking about April the following year.
Right.
All right. Where were you fingerprinted and by who?
Well, I was fingerprinted at Foxboro Company where I was employed then, but I don't recall what the guy's name, what his name was, but it was something pertaining to with this investigation of Oswald.
And they told you that?
Yes.
All right. Then there came a time when you went to when was the next time you heard from somebody pertaining to the assassination?
Well, I had got a letter, and this letter was telling me that when I had to go to Washington to testify for a Warren Commission, and what time that they were going to come by, pick me up and take me out to the airport. But other than that, I didn't have no contact with anyone else.
Okay. I'm going to turn this tape off for 1 second. Okay. We're going to take a short break. We're back now. We're starting all over again. Had a short break.
Right. Now, I have some information here. It says, were you ever, that you can recall, interviewed by the Dallas Police Department?
No.
Right. Now, on the 26th, of November, I believe you were interviewed by an agent from the FBI.
Yes,
you recall that?
Mm-hmm.
Did he take a statement from you, or did he ask you to tell him what happened, and he wrote it out, and you signed it, or you didn't sign?
I don't recall anybody taking a statement.
Well, I'll read to you. This is, and you tell me if this is correct, or as far as you can remember, what happened, what you told this agent. Tell him your name is Harold Dean Norman. And you lived at 4858 Beulah Street.
Yes.
You were employed as a shipping clerk in the Texas School Book Depository, 411 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas. Stated at around noon, November 22nd, 1963, this is quoting him verbatim now, he and fellow employees James Jarman and Bonnie Ray Williams were watching the presidential motorcade from the windows on the fifth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building. He stated that about the time the car in which the president was riding turned on to Elm Street, he heard a shot. He said he thought the shot had been fired from the floor directly above him. He further stated, at this time, he stuck his head from the window and looked upward towards the roof, but could not see nothing because small particles of dirt were falling from above him. He stated two additional shots were fired after he pulled his head back in from the window. He stated that he could see people walking towards the other end of the building. He, Jarman, and Williams ran to the other end of the room and looked out of the window there. He stated he saw nothing, and he then returned to the window from which he had been previously looking. Then it goes to the second paragraph. It says, Norman stated that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald as a fellow employee in the Texas School Book Depository and only talked to him when his work required. He stated he does not recall Oswald ever having visitors at the Texas School Book Depository or ever associating with anyone employed there. And it's signed, it's not signed, but it was typed in by Special Agent Benjamin O. Kruntzer, K. E-U-T-Z-E-R, and that's FBI file number DL-89-43 at 11-26-63. Now, when he talked to you, they made this up as a result of a conversation with you?
I really don't recall giving a statement to the FBI. If this happened, it must have happened the morning prior to that. We're going to wait to the airport. As far as the one coming by, I don't recall any.
And now they're saying this was written up on the 26th, would have made it the Monday or the Tuesday after the assassination. When you came back to work that Monday, did someone talk to you?
I don't recall. I don't think anybody did. But
did you ever testify before the Warren Commission?
Yes.
You went to Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
All right, now. As far as this statement is concerned, is there anything in that statement that you think is not right?
I think the part about the point that I said that, well, I said that I got up and looked out the window and looked up, then left and came back. We left and came back to the window. No, I don't.
We
left.
I recall ever doing that.
Do you recall giving that statement to an FBI agent?
No, I don't.
All right. Do you recall ever having to sign it to a statement?
No.
Do you recall sitting with somebody and they were typing as you were talking?
The only time I recall somebody typing when we were talking is when we were at the Warren Commission.
Warren Commission.
All right. Tell me how you got to the Warren Commission.
Well, agent, I believe he came and picked us up in the car and carried us
to the airport.
Well, I know it was a agent picked us up at Dulles Airport and carried us to the Willard Hotel.
Oh, you? How did you get to Washington? They sent you a ticket, or?
Yes.
Right.
And
the Willard Hotel where?
In Washington. We had the name hotel in Pennsylvania before they tore it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was Agent Joe, John Joe Harlett, the card that you showed me.
I believe that was him. I did have one or two more cards, but I don't recall what happened to them.
Now, when you got to Washington, name some of the people, if you can, or if there were any there from Dallas that was there the day you were there, the time you were there.
I think I know Jarman and William, Bonnery William, and they were there.
You all traveled together?
Right.
Okay.
And I think Truly went with us.
Truly?
Yes.
All right.
Then there was another guy, he didn't work at the depository. He was a construction contractor or something. I think he went the same day that we did. But
do you know what he was testifying about?
I think he was the guy that was testifying that he saw a rifle hanging out the window. He was a constructor. I can't recall what his name was.
You remember seeing a kid there?
Kid? No, I don't. I don't recall seeing him.
So as far as this statement is concerned, you don't remember giving that statement to an agent?
No, I don't.
And there are discrepancies in the statement that you say did not happen.
Yes.
Such as you're looking out the window and then leaning out the window, looking up and then getting back in and then looking out again and then two other shots being fired.
No, I don't.
Is there any other part of that statement?
Well, all that I see, I mean, I'm saying that left the window and then came back to the window. Because when we left the window, we went over to the window far side by the track, and we didn't come back over to the window, look out the window anymore that we were sitting in.
Did you know Ruby?
No.
Did you know the officer that got killed, J.D. Tipper?
No.
Okay.
Did you describe earlier in the conversation, you described how the shots were fired and what you heard? Bang, click, click, and so forth.
Right.
Did you describe when you related this to the Warren Commission or others at the time, did you say it that way? Or did you just say, I heard three shots fired? Or did you describe, like you described to us, exactly what you heard?
I described it exactly what I heard, like I described it to you all.
You described that to the Warren Commission and the other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you Did you ever hear anybody say that they saw Oswald carrying a package in the building that day?
Frazier.
Frazier?
Yes.
Did Frazier tell you that?
Well, he would not direct it to me. We were talking about it, I think it was after we came back to work. And it said that that took him on, and Oswald bought a package in with him. He didn't say, you know, what size, but he asked him what did he have in the package, and said Oswald said he had some curtain rods in there. Mm-hmm. But otherwise than that, that's all I know about it.
You ever heard anybody refer to that package as having Venetian blinds in it?
I think I might have read something about the same Venetian blind, but like I said, Frazier said it was, he said he had curtain rods.
Okay.
All
right. Okay, we'll take a short break. We're back now, and I'd like to ask you this question. After that short break, were you ever part of a reenactment?
Yes.
Tell us about it. How long after the assassination was that, if you can remember?
I can't recall how long it was, but they came back and carried us, Jarman, Barney Ray Williams, and myself, and had us sitting in the same place, same position that we were in. And I think, matter of fact, Mr. Gerald Ford was on the committee that came down at that time.
All right.
And they carried a guy up above us with a rifle, something similar to the one they said they found. It might have been just like the one they found, I don't know. And they went up above us, and we acted as though we told them how the rifle was fired. And they were released their empty three cartridges on the floor. And that particular day, that it was quite a bit of noise there because it was traffic coming all down through there, and the train was running. But yet and still, they could hear those empty cartridges hitting the floor over this hardwood floor with the layer of plywood over it. Mm-hmm. And
Who reenacted this? The FBI or the Warren Commission or the Dallas Police?
I believe it was some members of the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Could you hear the bolt action?
Yes, they could hear it all.
They could hear it. David, people stayed downstairs with you.
Some stayed downstairs.
And some went upstairs. And they all could hear everything
right.
That you said you heard. And it sounded just the same?
Right.
Did they fire any shots that you know of?
No. I don't call them if they fired any shots.
Blanks or anything?
Yeah.
They never... Did they take any measurements while they were up there that you know of?
I don't know if they did or not.
Now, when they came back, the book depository was still in operation?
Yes.
There were still books and cards, everything was up there?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, the tape is running down. I think we'll just cut it off now and change the tape.